Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. And having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles were these: first Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax gatherer, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, say, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, do not enter anywhere the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. And into whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and abide there until you go away. And as you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, let your greeting of peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your greeting of peace return to you. And whoever does not receive you, nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not become anxious about how or what you will speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what you are to speak. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And brother will deliver a brother to death, and a father his child, and children rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all on account of my name, and it is one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you shall not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become as his teacher and the slave as his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not yet two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore do not fear, for you are more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth, but I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life shall lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. And who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Amen. Amen. Chapter 10 is the second of the five discourses that run through Matthew. Remember I said that Matthew is very specifically writes five specific, or he notes five specific discourses. You know, in other words, very long, you know, sermons or speeches that Jesus gives, and that it mirrors the five books of Moses, right? The laws of Moses. And so chapter 10 actually covers the whole of the second one. The third one comes in chapter 13. And chapter 10 deals with, you know, the idea of mission, you know, or apostleship. And so he gets the 12, and now, you know, he's spent a bit of time with the disciples of the apostles, and now he's basically anointed them, he's taught them, and now he sends them out, right? And this is, you know, this should always be the mission of the church, right? That people come and, you know, we're to make disciples, right? We're supposed to train people up, love people, heal people, you know, all these wonderful things. And eventually it's so that they could be released to go out. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean the context of leave the church, even though sometimes that happens, right? And, you know, we're going to be sending out a team this summer, you know, to go to China. And sometimes it has a connotation, but more than anything else, the connotation is that you send them out into their work, you know, or into their lives, you know, into their families, into the marketplace, into the community, you know, to, you know, proclaim the gospel. In other words, the gospel, you know, was not just meant to be just for us. Right? You know this, right? The gospel was for the whole world, right? And so he gives the 12, he gives them instructions, and it's, you know, same instructions, right? And he tells them, preach and then do, right? So tell them the kingdom of God is here. And don't you love the way he says it so nonchalantly, right? Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, right? Okay, yeah, I like it. Sure. Boom. Just make it happen, right? You know, like we read, you know, heal the sick, raise the dead. What the heck? Where did that come from, right? Cleanse the lepers. You know, it's just, you know, freely you receive, freely give. In other words, right, just let Holy Spirit just flow through you. It's not you. You know, it's not like you are so spiritual or you're so gifted. No, just let Holy Spirit just flow through your life. You know, freely, you know, you've received, freely give, right? God touches you, go touch somebody. You know, it's just an easy transaction to take place. And he gives them, you know, these ideas of what you should do. You know, when you go in, you know, you go to the cities and you enter. You know, just basically just be a blessing, right? And you do the work and let God do his work. Now, if you do the stuff and people don't receive you, just go to another place. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just a real simple strategy, right? You know, in other words, just telling disciples, you guys do what I ask you to do. Let God be responsible for the results, right? You know, I think many of us, we get so discouraged in ministry is that we feel like that we're responsible for the results, right? That's not true. You know, even if you're a house church leader, you know, or you're leading in some capacity, you know, on a spiritual matter, let God be in charge of the results, right? You know, let him be the one, right? You just do your job. You know, you just serve, you know, or you teach, or you do whatever, and let God do his part. And some people will receive it and grow. You know, and great, right? Then you teach them more. Some people won't, and you just move on. You know, it's just, you know, one of those things. And I mean, in this context, you know, you don't have to wipe the dust off your feet. And that's a Middle Eastern idiom. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen people like in old movies or whatnot, and they just, you know, kind of do this kind of stuff, you know, like, all right, it's a very similar idea. What it basically means, wiping the dust off it, means that there's nothing that you have given to me. I mean, in other words, you know, even the dust that comes from your city, your house, there's nothing that's on me that you have given me. We're just totally free, you know, we're totally separated now. I'm going my way, you go your way kind of thing. And so he comes to this place, you know, and so shake the dust off your feet and just move on. You know, in that way, I think this is a really good lesson for us as leaders, you know, in many ways. And then basically, I mean, this course has started. Now he's getting to the nitty gritty, right, of what he wants to tell these guys about mission. You know, really about why he has called them. You know, why they're at the place where they're at. And he says that, you know, the road is going to be very difficult for you, right? And he tells them this interesting phrase in verse 16, right? He says, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves, right? Don't mix these two, right? He says, be shrewd. In other words, you know, don't be so naive, right? You know, be wise, you know, have understanding, you know, but yet be gentle, right? Be soft in our hearts, you know, towards people, you know, whatnot. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, be manipulative in those things, because the manipulation comes from the heart, right? But he's saying be shrewd, right? Don't be naive. In other words, don't put yourself in harm's way, you know, to be hurt and trampled upon. Be shrewd as a serpent. You know, in your mind, be sharp. Be aware. Know the times that you're living in. But in your heart, right, be innocent as doves, right? In your heart, be pure. In your heart, love people, right? This is a really incredible combination, right? And if you want to see who embodied this, it was Jesus, right? He didn't let people take advantage of other people. You know what I mean? And he went after people when, you know, he needed to. But yet in his heart, he was always soft. He was always gentle. He was always accommodating. He was always loving. You know, and so he's given this idea, and he says that, you know, watch out. They're going to throw you in jail. You know, they're going to send you before officials. You're going to get beaten. You know, all kinds of stuff's going to happen in your life. And this is kind of the idea in this passage, right? Like, things are going to happen to you, but don't worry, I'm going to be with you. You know, and so he says that people are going to deliver you up. And he says, don't be anxious about what to say. In that very moment, the Lord will give you words to speak. You know, and isn't that really true? Remember going through the book of Acts, right? Remember, like, these fishermen stood up amongst the most intellectual Jews of their time, right, and confounded their wisdom? And remember, you know, these guys that spent their whole lives studying, basically. Remember, they were scratching their heads. They're like, hey, man, aren't those guys fishermen? Aren't those guys, like, untrained and uneducated? But, man, they speak with such wisdom, right? They speak with such anointing. It's true, right? When they deliver you up, you can, you know, God will give you the words to speak. And so even though, you know, he's letting them know, hey, it's going to be hard. Things are going to happen to you. You're going to be thrown into situations. Don't worry. God says, Lord says, I'm going to be with you. You know, and in that moment, you're going to know what to say. You know, and it was very true for the disciples' life. Actually, this passage, you know, I realized much later on when I started studying the Bible more, you know, that I was actually misinterpreting this scripture. You know, but I would use this passage when I would preach. In other words, I felt like, and of course, no one's throwing me in the synagogue, no one's throwing me to the wolves or anything like that. You know, but I just felt like every time that I stood up to speak, you know, and to share God's word, that the Lord would give me what to say. You know, and he was always true to that. Now, I understand that's not really the context of what this is saying, right? But, you know, but I receive anyway, you know. And so he says, you know, brother will deliver a brother to death, father his child, children rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. Now, when I was reading this, when I first became a Christian, I really didn't understand it all too much, especially the next passage that we're going to read shortly. But now that I've been a Christian for a little while, and especially, I think, the time that we're living in now, I think we really understand this passage, especially now that we've been introduced to Islam, right? You know, and now we're like, oh, is that what Jesus is talking about? You know, and literally, I mean, this is happening in the midst of us right now, right? Especially, you know, amongst people. Most of us, we're not going to be, I mean, any of you guys ever been hated because of his name? You know, I mean, I come from from America, right? And you sure, we have like the ACLU and stuff like that, you know, the Antichrist Leadership Council, you know, and that was a political statement, by the way, you know, and things like that. But, you know, for the most part, there's not going to be really a lot of hate that comes our way, you know, but it happens in many sectors of this world right now, right? You know, there's many people groups, you know, around the world. You know, there's one particular people group, you know, inside Myanmar and Burma, you know, who are being killed because they're Christians, basically, right? And I mean, it's quite sad, right? And, you know, like this weekend is the CSW conference, you know, that I'll be attending. And, you know, if you want to hear more about that kind of stuff, you know, maybe you should attend as well. Actually, Pastor Nate is leading worship, you know, during the sessions. And we see that, you know, that this is really happening. And he says they're going to persecute you. You know, things are going to happen. You know, you know, and he's in verse 24, right? A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave is above his master. You know, and he basically is telling him, says, man, if they're calling me Beelzebub, what do you think they're going to call you? You know, being the head, and they treat me this way, how do you think they're going to treat you? You know, but he says, but don't fear them, right? Again, he says, man, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be tough, but don't worry. I'm going to be with you. You know, everything that's out there, you know, whatever's going, don't worry. I'm going to be with you. You know, and you know, it says here in verse 28, right, is this reasoning. Don't fear those who kill the body. It's just the body. Fear him who can kill your soul, right, you know, and send you to hell, destroy both soul and body in hell. And 29 says, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? It's actually, the word there in Greek, it doesn't even mean a cent. It's actually, in Greek, the coin is an asarion. This actually is the smallest copper coin. It's worth less than a cent. You know, and so he's giving this, you know, contrasting picture. Like even two sparrows cost, you know, almost nothing. And even the Lord governs their life. So he's telling these guys, yes, things are going to happen, but don't worry. I'm going to be with you. You know, I'm going to take care of you, right? And you know, this famous passage in verse 38, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered, right? We taught on this many times, God. God, you know, he doesn't just numerically number your hair. He knows every hair that's on our head. All this show, I mean, this is how intimately acquainted God is with our lives. He knows our situations, you know. He knows, you know, this morning, you know, for myself, right, he knew that, you know, at 5:45 in the morning as I was taking my shower, right, that hair 6,408, you know, column, you know, 3 jillion, whatever. You know, actually, I don't have that much hair. I should not brag too much. You know, let's say column 4, you know, row, you know, 843, it was going to come out at 5:45 a.m., you know, on this day. He knows the number of your hair. That's how intimately acquainted he is with our lives. You know, and with that idea, that's how much God cares for you. So even if these difficult roads and these difficult things will happen in your life, right, Jesus is still, he's saying, I'm with you. You know, I got your back. You know, yes, it's going to be difficult. Yes, you chose this path, and it's not going to be the easiest path, you know. But don't worry, I'm with you. You know, whatever happens, right? Because whoever confesses me before my Father, I will confess him, right? It's, you know, you do your part, and when it's time, Jesus says, I'm going to do my part, right? You be faithful, and I'm going to be faithful to you. Right, and he says, "I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword." You know, and it's not so much that Jesus came to bring the sword, right? It's that because the message will be so offensive, you know, that literally, you know, fathers and sons and mothers and you know this whole family dynamic is going to be uprooted in many ways, you know, and it's going to happen, and we see it's literally happening right now. You know, maybe it's happening in your life. I don't know. You know, maybe you're being ostracized because of your faith. And it's not so much that, you know, that if you are, it's not so much that you're the instigator of all this. No, people hate you on account of Christ. You know, I talked to Pastor Salamat once in a while, and he actually shared with us in our last staff meeting. You know, that there's many, many, you know, there's a lot of Muslims that come to the service, you know, in the Febe ministry, you know, but yet they have not accepted Jesus yet. And the one thing that's holding them back is their family, knowing that if they give their life to Jesus, they'll be kicked out of their families. They'll be ostracized. You have no idea what's going on, you know. I mean, you know, these guys get death threats all the time, right? You know, people have, you know, I mean, just, it's just amazing. You know, the kind of things that you know, a lot of the militants, they just really, someone becomes a Christian and it's just war. You know, people threaten to burn down churches. And I mean, I'm talking about in the context of what's going on upstairs, right? This stuff is happening right now all over the world as well. But people are really set themselves against each other. And we see that, man, this is really happening. You know, and verse 38, and who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life shall lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. You know, and this is asking, he says, you guys got to pick up your cross and you got to follow. You know, this is discipleship. But again, don't worry. I'm going to be with you. You know, even the little deed that you do, just give someone a little cup of water, even a little thing like that, you're going to get rewarded. You know, and it's a very, you know, strong message, right? Things are going to happen to you, but don't worry. I'm going to be with you, right? And you're going to make your life count, huh? So let's close our eyes today. The true meaning of discipleship. To pick up your cross daily. And follow him. Are we willing to forsake all for Jesus the Christ? Are we willing to lay everything down for Jesus? And it's not like he's some random person or some figure. He laid everything down for us. And I want to just encourage us today as they lead us in a song of worship, that we just begin to go through the inventory of our life. And just think, what am I not willing to give to Jesus? And then just talk to him about that. Let's spend a moment. Let's just pray for ourselves, and let's pray that we would really come to understand God's call in our lives, and just the cross that he wants us to pick up. And not that the Christian life is dreary and it's all about sacrifice and these things. It's not. But yet at the same time, there are those elements that's there. You know, and the fullness, right? He says that, you know, he came that you might have life and life abundantly. And a lot of that fullness of that life will flow as we begin to lay down. And so let's just give our hearts to the Lord today. Is there anything capturing you right now? that you're unable to lay down before Jesus. And just submit that to Him. Huh? Let's pray. Let's go to Mission Focus. Let's pray for Master's Beauty, Frank and Fabi and Sam and Soyoung, Stephanie. Again, there's like 15 of YWAMers, SP members that are in Mexico. Let's continue to lift them up in this very dangerous place and pray that God will just really use them powerfully. Let's pray for Japan, Tokyo. Bless Kenny and his ministry there, that God would continue to use him and especially pioneer a new sports ministry and other things that he's doing. Let's ask God to really bless them in that way. Let's pray for SP Ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and for SP Youth, and pray for the leaders and the teachers and the pastors, and ask God's hand to be upon them as they lead, and let each of our kids really experience God every time they come to church. Let's pray for our Thursday house churches. Let's lift up Kennedy Road with Tracy and Will and Pacific Place with Mike and Angie and Conduit with Sandro and GA. Let's ask God's hand upon them as leaders that would lead. And for every person that comes tonight, would just really experience God's love and His power. And let's just lift up tonight's meetings before the Lord. Let's pray for the SP Move. Let's ask God to continue to bless those that give, and pray for wisdom on the steering committee and leaders as we chart a new course. Continue to pray for the Vine. Ask God to bless them in their fundraising as well. And you know they're not going to move in February, right? They postponed it way back, and so. There's a lot of challenges on their front. So let's just really pray for God's hand upon them and for us as well. Let's go to our member focus and let's pray for Rachel. Let's ask God to bless her, help her to really move forward in a new project in the Himalayas. I'll pray for her language learning and, of course, pray for her finances as well. Let's lift up Rachel in Thailand. Let's pray for Kiwan and Christina. Let's pray that God would bless them with a new baby this year. They would prepare them to be good parents and they'll continue to grow in Christ in this year. Pray for Christina's dad to be saved and over blessing over the mom and sister to continue to grow in their faith. And pray for the health of all their members, Christina's sister and mother and Kiwan's father. And for real guidance and blessing in the workplace for both of them. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for Stanley. Pray for his new career, for wisdom and guidance. Pray for a deeper and wider relationship with God this year. Pray for the family to know the Lord and for reconciliation and healing. And let's just lift him up. Lord, we thank you. God, we are amazed, Father, that no matter what happens in our life, God, no matter what we're called to, Lord, that you're always with us, God. Lord, in speech, God, in conduct, in protection, Father God, in reward, you're always with us, Lord. And so we ask, God, that you would continue to manifest your presence over our life today, God. Draw us to you, Father. We thank you for this time, Lord, and continue to keep us strong during the fast, Lord, and help us to continue to spend time with you, Lord, and really be effective, Father God, and whatever you're calling us to, Lord, as we go to work, our homes, or our schools, Lord, help us to be effective, Father God, in everything we put our hands to, Lord, for you, for the kingdom, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.